Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 72 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up in this week's episode,
I chat with Maddie Wood and Sam Farragher from Centre Stage Productions ahead of their production of The Band, which runs at the Gaiety Theatre from Friday the 10th to Saturday the 18th of October. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcasts, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like, a 5-star review and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also helps to make it more available for other people to find. Right, in local news, there's yet another announcement for the DCU's February 2026 production of Guys and Dolls, which sees David Brittle step away from the role of Skye Masterson and be replaced by Damien Neal. Damien studied a diploma in musical theatre at the London School of Musical Theatre before embarking on the UK tour of Les Mis, covering a number of ensemble and principal roles, including the Bishop of Dean and Chavert. It's going to be great to see Damo back on the Gaiety stage. In recent weeks, new murals to celebrate the Gaiety's 125th birthday have been revealed in the Gaiety Circle Bar. They cover both of the Circle Bar's side walls, with pictures covering some of the highlights of the shows from the last 125 years. I'm also happy to say that I made the wall, although not as many times as David Artis, who appears to be there about 6 times. Well, I believe it's been so popular that the Gaiety are considering covering the walls either side of the bar too, so maybe there's another chance for another photo of me. Taylorian Productions have recently held their auditions for next summer's production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats, and they've also announced the cast, which is as follows. Old Deuteronomy and Bustopher Jones will be played by Mike Jelski. Munkerstrap and Demeter will be played by Georgia Maddox. Victoria by Misha Quayle. Bomballerina will be played by Ella Gould. Reprising the role of Rum Tum Tugger is Matthew James. Grisabella will be played by Christine Wilson. Mr. Mistopheles by Joshua Mooney. Jemima, one of the stars of today's episode, Maddie Wood. Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser will be played by Matty Rycroft and Millie Christian. Asparagus and Gus the Theatre Cat will be played by Darren Webb. Also, whilst we're talking about Darren, congratulations to him for jumping into the role of Grandpa Joe halfway through the Thursday performance of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, when Matt Jones was taken ill very suddenly. And also, well done for covering the 3 final performances with very little rehearsal. Well done, Darren. Sterling performance. The role of Electra will be played by Kayleigh Plumley. Jenny Anydot by Debbie Gooding. Jelly Lorum by Alexandra Slater. Exotica by Hannah Everett. Etc. Owenna Thomas. Coracapat by Grace Pope. Tantamil by Cara Davies. Cassandra by Ailish Creer. And Luna by Kelly Firth. And the kittens, Pounceville and Syllabub, will be played by Emma Hill and Catherine Warlow. Congratulations, one and all. Cats is Taylorian's 20th anniversary show and will play at the Gaiety Theatre in August 2026. The Isle of Man Arts Council has announced the recipients of their annual student bursaries for 2025-26. Awarded to creative students moving into or currently in further or higher education, the bursaries are each worth £10,000 over the duration of a course. This year, 6 students have been chosen as recipients. The Jonathan Gollow Awards for Performing Arts are awarded to Ori Cashin, who will be attending the Royal Birmingham Conservatoire to study for a BA Honours acting degree, and to Grace Pope, who will be undertaking a 4-year performance in musical theatre BA Honours with foundation year at the Performance Preparation Academy in Guildford. The Norman Sale Awards for Visual Art and Literature are awarded to Lula Thomas, who will be studying for BA Honours in Fine Art, Painting and Printmaking at the Glasgow School of Art, Patrick Crellin, who will be attending Queen Mary University in London to study film, directing fiction, and to Daisy Quinn, who will be studying for a BSc Honours in Digital Film Production at Birmingham City University. This year, the Isle of Man Arts Council Award was awarded to Tony Quinn, who will be studying for BA Honours in Music at York St John University. The awards are named in memory of former Isle of Man Arts Council members, music promoter Jonathan Gollow, and artist Norman Sale, and are awarded annually. This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomart.com. Away from the island, Samantha Barks is embarking on a cathedral tour from the 12th to the 21st of November with stops at Lichfield, Chester, Portsmouth, Carlisle, Lincoln, Llandaff and Durham cathedrals. She kicks off the tour with a concert at London's Adelphi Theatre on Tuesday, the 11th of November. Matt Overfield is still in Hercules, the musical, which is currently playing at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, where he's part of the ensemble and first cover for Hades' henchmen, Pain and Panic. Casey Crane will be in Panto this Christmas, playing Prince Pierre and the Beast in Beauty and the Beast at the Castle Theatre in Wellingborough. Keeping on a Beauty and the Beast theme, Lucy Penrose will be playing Belle in Growled. Beauty and the Beast continues. At the Royal Variety Tavern, with performances from November through to January. Joe Hillard is about to set sail round the Caribbean on Cunard's Queen Elizabeth, with their original cast of Come From Away. Joe will be playing the part of Kevin T and others on board until March 2026. This production of Come From Away is being directed by Tara Overfield-Wilkinson, who will also be directing Come From Away for Two Feathers in July next year. And finally, Millie Christian will be playing Jennifer Gabriel in her first third-year production at the Performance Preparation Academy on the 6th and 8th of November at the Eve Lyne Studio Theatre in Guildford. Well, that's it for now, but make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
I'm joined on the podcast today by Sam Farragher and Maddie Wood from Centre Stage Productions, ahead of their production of The Band, which opens at the Gaiety Theatre on Friday the 10th of October. Ladies, welcome along to the podcast.
Thank you.
And it's a first time for both of you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You've not been here before.
No, I've not made the cut before.
Right, well,
we have now.
It's the first time for everything. Yay! So we're here today to talk about Centre Stage's upcoming production, which is just a few weeks away now, of The Band, which is a musical based on the music of Take That?
Yeah,
I'd say that. It's jukebox musical. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah. Jukebox musical.
Although this is a bit more of a, rather than it being like sort of a stereotypical jukebox musical is basically just an excuse to get to the next song.
It is.
This kind of uses, this is a bit more like Mamma Mia really, isn't it? Where it kind of uses the songs to sort of push the story on and sort of help shape things, yeah?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely more about the story and then the songs just fit in really nicely actually, to, like you say, to tell the story and give it that extra layer.
Yeah, it's nice because the Take That music, the lyrics actually mean something.
Yeah.
So like songs like Back For Good, Pray, it all has like a reason why it's in there and like it contributes to the story really nicely.
So talking of the story, give us a rough idea of what we can expect. What's the sort of the general idea of the story of the show?
Shall I go?
Yeah, you go first.
So it's about these teenage girls, really. There's us teenage girls and it's really just about our lives as teenagers and how we have this huge obsession with this band who ironically sing Take That songs. They're not Take That, but they are a band. And yeah, I think our character Rachel especially has this sort of, in her heart, like the band are always there. They're kind of bringing her through her life up to adulthood from a teenager to adulthood.
Yeah, and like Maddie said, so we play the same character of Rachel. So Maddie's 16-year-old Rachel, and I'm much older Rachel. And it's kind of like, the like Maddie said, those group of friends, and then they go their various ways in life, as you do, and then it's this band that in a way brings them back together. And it's about them like getting back together, regrouping and seeing how their lives have maybe not gone exactly how they planned.
But
they've all achieved maybe different things than they necessarily set out to do. But yeah, it's just where they're at now, really.
Yeah, everyone where they are in their 30s to 40s is very, it's a long, long way away from where they thought they would be when they were 16. So it's set in two time periods. It's 1992 for the 16-year-old.
95.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Okay, 95. So it's set in 1995 for the teenage girls.
Yep, so it is.
And then it's more up to date now, contemporary now.
Modern day, yeah.
Yeah, modern day now for the grown-up ones.
Yeah.
And I guess we sort of flip backwards and forwards between the two time periods as stories are told.
Yeah, it's mostly in chronological order, isn't it?
Yeah.
We start, I mean, there's a few little crossover bits, but we mainly start with the young ones and then it's
Act two is kind of our...
Yeah,
but it's kind of, you kind of come in and out from, it's kind of like from Rachel's perspective. So I'd say like we're kind of the narrators, like the stories of the group, and older Rachel kind of comes in and, you know, says her ideas and like what she remembers, her memories, and then it goes to the younger girls and then it will go back to the older girls.
Fabulous. So there's five girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
and they're all played by, let's have a quick look at the cast. That's probably the easiest way to get into it. So we have young Rachel, which is Maddie.
Yeah.
And we have young Heather, which is Katie Rose Hughes. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, obviously I know that this musical is written by Tim Firth and obviously Gary Barlow, and Katie was in Calendar Girls earlier this, yeah, which is also with Tim Firth and Gary Barlow. Yes. So Katie Rose is playing young Heather. We have Phoebe Kringle playing young Zoe. Eilish Webster is playing young Claire. Mm-hmm. And we have Daisy Maddox playing Debbie.
Yep.
So tell me about the girls and the characters and what they're...
They're all very different, to be honest. And you get that in, I think, a lot of musicals, a lot of shows where you have very sort of polar opposite characters, and they all gel well together and become a really good team, and they all have their own strengths and weaknesses. And again, that's interesting to see how that's played out for them later on in life. I think Rachel's very much sort of the fixer, isn't she? Like, she wants to just have that friendship group. They're very, very important to her, and they are her, along with the band, they are her most important things in life, I think, as young Rachel and as old Rachel. Like, they are her cornerstones, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who else have we got?
Yeah, I just think, like, the younger girls have this really... They're just so different, but then when they come together, they're just, like, one whole. And I also think... Everyone kind of does have their own sort of personalities. Like Heather, she's the naughty one.
Right.
She is like always drunk. Yes. Always drunk. And Sophie. Yeah. And then we have Claire, who is the sporty. She's never at school. She's always working hard on her swimming. She's very assertive. She knows what she's doing. And then we have Zoe, who is the bookworm. She is the complete opposite of Heather, and it's so nice to see that
dynamic
with each other. It's really, really
funny.
And
they have quite a special friendship. They have Heather and Zoe. It's really
very funny.
And then Debs is the confident, dancer,
sassy, amazing one. Yeah, that I think Rachel's kind of in awe because Rachel's quite
reserved.
Very reserved. She's very reserved in herself, and I think Debbie really brings out that sort of life to her. It's really nice. Those two have like a really strong, so obviously Daisy, she plays Debbie, and we just have that really nice connection together because she gives me that confidence that I think Rachel could really use.
Is she the kind of the linchpin of the group as well? She what kind of holds everyone together?
Yeah, in the first act I'd say she is.
Oh yeah, isn't she?
She's definitely, I think she's just people's happy place. Like, she arrives and that's the group made. And
she brings
yeah, everyone's got one of those people. There's a person that kind of makes the whole group complete, and that's it. We're brilliant. Yeah, great.
She does.
And then so the adult cast, then we have Sam, you're playing Rachel.
Yeah.
Sophie Lancaster, I'm always going to call her Sophie Jones. She is playing the adult Heather. Lauren Newson is playing adult Zoe, and Stacey Murphy's playing adult Claire. We're going to sort of gloss over the fact that there's no adult Debbie mentioned, but that's a little spoiler, so we'll get around to that in the show. So we can't talk about that at the moment, but that's something you'll need to come to see the show and find out all about.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so those ladies then, most of those have been around for quite a few years now. I mean, well, that makes me sound like I'm calling them really old. I'm not ladies, I'm not. So I'm just saying you've done a few shows.
We've accepted the fact that we're the old generation. Lauren and I actually met when, I can't remember what year, but it was when Manx Ops did Evita. Years and years and years and years ago, and we were actually in the children's chorus.
That was about 2003, I want to say.
About there. Yeah. Yeah. So we know each, so it's really.
You in the children's chorus?
We were in the
That's
children's
so
chorus.
Cute.
I know. Sorry, Neil. But yes, it's been really nice. Coming back together, but especially as it is like such a nostalgic show, it's really, really funny. And Lauren's found some horrific photos of the time, which.
Oh, God.
And then obviously, Soph.
Taken on a real camera on actual film.
Absolutely. I know, printed out boots and everything. Or even chemists, I don't know.
Sent away.
Yeah, I know. And then Sophie and I have done shows. I think we started at DCU together. Mm-hmm. And I think even further back than that, we did Pantos when we were younger.
Right.
Don't quote me on that, though. Yeah. And then Stacey, bless her, actually, she was the chaperone in School of Rock last year. Her daughter was in School of Rock. Mm-hmm. And she's got the most amazing voice, Stacey, and she does a lot of singing as herself in various concerts. But this is actually her first time.
Treading the boards.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, so and she's brilliant.
Fresh blood. Yeah. Lovely.
Love it. Oh, she's done brilliant. I wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
She's great. They all are. Honestly, it's such an amazing cast. And it's just a great relationship as well. That
it's
we've
been so nice.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's been great.
And we better talk about the boys then, the band.
Oh, yeah.
The boys.
So we have Brian Del Rosario, Ben Gale, Ross Angwin, and Jay O'Connell.
There's the band.
Yeah, and they are just amazing.
They are amazing. Like, I remember the first time we came to rehearsal, and I think we were singing Rule the World, and we heard them all sing, and I just was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, just hearing as well, they've got these beautiful harmonies in all the songs that they do, and the boys kind of mainly do sing all the songs. Mm-hmm. Like, we all nip in and out, we sing stuff, but it's mainly the boys singing the songs, and they've just got a beautiful dynamic in their voices. Yeah. It's gorgeous. It's
really are they kind of a bit of an ethereal kind of just always in the background? And
yeah, I think like in the first act, they are quite real, aren't they? You guys go to see them at the gig. And then I think as the show goes on, it does become more of Rachel like recalling back to those songs and as her safe place and as her happy place of, to underscore what's going on in her life at the time. But yeah, but they are just awesome, aren't they?
And they're living in our like mind, our heads as well. It's it's odd. Yeah. So like
after they're always here.
Yeah, the first scene, which I won't spoil anything, but she's really, they are really involved in Rachel's, in young Rachel's life. Mm-hmm. They help her literally get ready for school, and they just, for her, the boys are always there. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you have it that they are real because we go to watch them in a concert. And yeah, it's just fun to see that, how Rachel thinks, really.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually quite a small cast, isn't it, for a certain stage production? Because really normally there's a lot more on stage, but but you know, we're almost at the end of the cast already.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we've got some swings, which are Angela Gerard, Shannon Skillen, and Catherine Harrison. Mm-hmm. So they sort of helping out with all the backing vocals and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah, they've got their own tracks as well, haven't
they? Yeah, they're amazing.
And like Shannon's swung for all of you guys, which is incredible.
Yeah. Right.
Angela and Catherine have done two of ours each, which... I don't know how they've done it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Shannon's just, she's stepped, whenever a girl isn't here, she steps in.
Yeah.
And she's amazing because as well, throughout our blocking weeks and when we've been actually blocking the show or choreographing it or whatever, she has a, I think I'm saying this now, she has like a book and she's just always writing down everything that we need to know.
Yeah.
She's just amazing. Like you go up to her, ask a question, she probably know more than you will. Great character. She's brilliant. She's done an amazing job as Swing.
Fantastic. Then we have Peter Shimmin, who is Jeff.
He is Jeff. He is
Who's Jeff in the grand scheme of things?
Our gorgeous husband.
The significant other. Yeah. And Dave. Now, I remember seeing this advertised. Dave is played by Neil King.
It is.
And I believe Dave crops up in several different
Yes.
I think there's about versions. Seven Dave.
Yeah, there's like Airport Dave, Bus Driver Dave.
Cleaner Dave.
Cleaner Dave.
Now, having seen the film in the last week... Mm-hmm. Bus Driver Dave turns into Drag Queen Dave.
Yes.
Please tell me Neil King is dragging up.
No.
Although I feel it's time to add that in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There could be.
Definitely time.
I mean, it's going to sell a lot of tickets.
No. He does come on. He could, like, in Relight My Fire, which is one of the songs.
Yeah.
You know, he comes on. He's having, you know, he's partying. He's having fun with us. Maybe not drag, but he's still having fun. Yeah.
Chaps.
Maybe.
Don't know about the costumes yet.
And then the ensemble, we have Sherry Pulteney, Adrian Cowan, Caitlin Hampson, Abby Vance, Emma Stratford, and Erin Farragher.
Yes.
And that's it?
Yeah,
that's the whole...
Wow.
It sounds so small when you say it like that.
I know.
But I feel like...
It's great, though.
It's lovely because everyone's got a major part to play, really.
Yeah.
And everyone, I think, like Maddie said before, like this cast and crew and PT and everyone, it's just been awesome to work with.
Yeah.
Everyone's just really come
together.
With the last 2 years of Two Feathers, we've had like a cast of 18 and a cast of about 14.
Yes.
And it only takes two people to be off to make it suddenly feel like half the cast is missing.
Yes. Literally, I think that's what
we've
had.
Yeah. But everyone's just so great just stepping in and just getting on with it. They're really good with that. But everyone, like without anyone, it wouldn't be a whole.
Yeah.
Everyone just makes it.
Yeah.
There's no one who's not as important as anyone. Like if Rachel's is just important as ensemble, ensemble's just as important as us. That just really brings the whole show together.
Now, I've noticed on the Gaiety website, there is a
oh, no.
bit of age guidance. Is it 12 and above? Is there a bit of fruity language?
There's a bit of fruity actions. Yeah,
well,
fruity actions.
Stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All in very good humour, I would say. Yeah. And all very much fits the character.
Yeah, it really does.
I think it's just one character. No, maybe a couple of characters. Yeah.
Is it mainly you, though?
It's actually, we are very well behaved in this show.
No, we're good. We're
We are very well behaved in this show.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Then it must be Heather.
Actually, no, it's not.
It's not.
I don't even want to say who no, one of them is because it's a bit of a...
It's like a quite surprise.
All right. Moving on then. So the show is running from the 10th to the 18th of October. So that's Friday to the following Saturday.
Yes.
18th is my birthday, so just so you know.
Oh, happy birthday.
I mean, it's still
a month away, yeah, but still.
Oh, you're getting a night off as well? No show Monday night?
Yeah, we get a night off on Monday. And we've also got an early show on... Well, I say an early show. I think it's is it 5 o'clock or 5.30 show on Sunday?
Right.
Yeah. So an early night.
So like a tea time matinee kind of thing. Right, okie dokie. Oh, so looking at the... I suppose we better talk about the important people here, hadn't we? The people at the front of the room.
Yes. Oh,
so, yeah. Director Mark Hilton.
Yeah.
Mark's getting quite a few shows over here now, which is good. Mm-hmm. So he's done Panto last 2 years. He's been involved with Two Feathers last 2 years with Jersey Boys and Little Shop of Horrors. And now this.
I know. Yeah.
And he's been fab.
He's been amazing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, this is my first time working with Mark, and he's just been brilliant. He's just so great. I mean,
have you had a delicious yet?
Oh, we've had a few delicious.
Yes. Oh, excellent.
We've had.
You know you're doing well when you get a delicious out of Mark.
Yeah.
I think like from the audition weekend, really, like he'd already nicknamed like you guys the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
We were the OGs because
we don't know called the old girls.
Yeah, God forbid we were offended by being old.
And right,
I think
Babs.
Like just that whole audition weekend was like you knew what you were getting. It was so chilled. It was such a lovely audition process, if there ever.
Yeah, it was more like a workshop than an audition. Because I remember being in the audition with you.
Yes.
That was a long time ago now. But yeah, it was just really fun. It was like, so can you just do this and just see what happens? Yeah. And it was just a really fun way to do
definitely
audition.
Put you at ease.
Matching up the Nuggets with the OGs.
We had to sit and watch you guys, didn't we?
Yeah, and then we watched you.
Yeah, be able to match us.
Do you know when they put out the posters of like the young and the older ones together.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing how alike some of you all really were. It was like, whoa, that's really good. Casting. So
it is. Yeah. I think we've just actually become the same person.
Oh my God.
Gone on.
We keep
ridiculous.
Saying the same thing.
Morphed into the same person.
We wore the same thing last on Monday rehearsal. We wore the exact same clothes.
In the same outfit.
Oh, in June.
So we hadn't even
I know. It wasn't planned.
It wasn't planned. No, it was crazy.
Black leggings and a show shirt.
No, actually.
Black leggings.
Yeah.
And a
grey
quarter zip jumper.
Oh. With and we've got the same water bottle, who knew?
Wow.
Same water bottle, and we drank it at the same time.
I know.
It was weird. It was a weird Monday.
Okay, so we've got Claire Temple at the front then, playing everything.
Yeah, she's awesome. Brilliant. I mean, I've done a couple of shows with Claire, well, quite a few shows with Claire, and she's just brilliant. Like, she gets the job done, she gets everyone knows what they're doing, and I just think she's really good fun, but also...
Yeah,
she works as hard as she should.
Yeah.
And as a musical director, she'll be in the pit then as well.
Yes, she will be. We'll be looking to her to save
us. And it's because the show, a lot of the actual, dialogue is spoken through song. Mm-hmm. There's always an underscore of music somewhere.
Yeah.
So she is very, very helpful when it comes to that. And she's brilliant, coming in with timings and everything. She's really helpful.
It's definitely been a new challenge.
It has.
Fitting your dialogue in exactly the right
time.
Place.
The music.
Yeah.
We
had a bit of that in Little Shop of Horrors in the summer as well. You've literally got about two bars to get a long line and go, I've got it before then. Ian's again. Yeah.
You're like,
oh,
we're nearly there.
I know. Yeah.
Or then it's when you find you've gone really too quickly and there's like
and
four bars to go.
And you're just awkwardly stood there like, oh my God, I've got too fast.
Too fast, not fast enough. Yeah. So, putting you through your paces. Literally, Molly Bowman is the choreographer.
She is. And her choreography is incredible, isn't it?
It's so much fun. It's so much fun as well. Yeah. Like, everyone just has so much fun with it. And she's just been great because obviously everything is kind of in the music. So it's kind of been this whole, well, who does who? Who directs what? Yeah. Who choreographs what? But they've both just been really great. She's been amazing. I've loved all the choreography.
Yeah. Are there some classic Take That routines being brought into it as well?
With a twist, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think, yeah. Careful of copyright.
Yeah.
With a twist.
Yes.
But yeah, there'll be moves people recognise and people in the Mega Mix and things will be joining in with.
We want people to join in.
Yeah.
So please.
Oh, I will be.
Yeah.
I was a big Take That fan. I was a big Take That fan back in the day. I mean, obviously I had to pretend that it was E17 because, being a fan of Take That wasn't cool when you were, teenage lad. But, we all liked a bit of Take That. And then rounding off the production team, Peter Sherman is the assistant director.
He is, yes. And he's been great as well, really.
Also
him and Mark have worked really well together. And I think he's been very patient, particularly with the older ones, as we were trying to get our head. I think they all have, to be fair. That goes out to the whole PT. They've been very patient and very supportive. And then Pete's obviously... assistant directing and also in the show, so he has had a lot on his plate, bless him. And he's been brilliant
jumping back and forth from the other side of the table.
Yeah.
But he's just so great because obviously Mark isn't here the whole time.
Yes.
And when Mark isn't here, Peter will just step in and he will just, any questions, ask him, I wasn't sure what to do when we did this.
Mm-hmm.
He's just amazing for that. Go and ask him anything and he will have the answer. He's brilliant.
Fantastic. So Maddie, I'm guessing that this is probably not your first, but, no. but one of the first shows that you've done. Is this early doors for you, or have you been at this since you were knee-high to a grasshopper?
I have been at this since, well, I think my first ever actual, I say principal role was Cosette in Les Mis.
Oh, wow.
In 20, oh, I can't even remember when it was. I was about 9, 8, 10 right. maybe.
And was then that the DCU one or the Manx Ops one?
Manx Ops one.
Manx Ops one, right.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was, yeah, that was, I think the first ever show I did was a panto, mm-hmm. which was the year before then. And then after Les Mis, that was, I'd say it was my favourite one because it was my first ever one I did, and it's such an amazing musical. And then after that, I just kept going for stuff. I did Sound of Music, Annie. I was meant to do School of Rock with Taylor Lorraine Productions.
Yeah.
Obviously, that sadly got cancelled because of COVID. Moana Junior, High School Musical, and then Centre Stage.
Wow. Yeah, you've got quite a long list behind you. Probably more than Sam.
Probably, yes.
So, what was it that first got you into then? What was it that first got you into the theatre? Was it?
So I originally, actually I started, I think I started drama first at Stage One Drama School.
Oh, right, of course, yeah.
Just been there right now.
With Jackie and Sonia.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was my first ever thing I did, and I think I just came out, loved it, absolutely loved it. I was always that kid, I was like, oh, I will do anything. It was amazing, it was great. And then I went to Sing Up, started doing mm-hmm. Sing Up with Olivia Libby, and then went on to do singing, and then I thought, singing, acting, let's put it together and do the musical theatre class at Stage One.
Perfect.
So yeah, and that's what I'm doing, still doing now. I've been with them for years.
Yeah.
You're very young age, and that's kind of what got me into it. And then my mum said, do you want to do Les Mis? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that sounds great. And that was, yeah.
How about you, Sam? Because I know Charlotte, you and your sister Charlotte have been doing it for a long time.
A long time, right? Like, I think, well, my first show was with Christine Wilde. So I did Christine Wilde's theatre school over the road, really, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
From when I was 3. So my first show was a Christmas show, and I think it was 93 or 94, I was trying to think today. And I actually played a little teddy bear at 3 years of age.
Aww.
Very cute, would you say so myself. And then I did Christine shows right up until I went off to uni. And I think I must have done a couple of DCU shows. I did Sound of Music and The Witches of Eastwick,
mm-hmm.
yeah, before I went to uni. And then came back, and for years I actually did backstage.
Yes.
My happy place was behind the props table.
In the darkness.
And I loved it. And I kind of thought, oh, I'm not done with musical theatre, I'm done with on stage. Like, I'm quite happy backstage. And it was producers that came around.
Yeah.
And I think because, like you say, Charles was doing it as well, we thought we'll do something together as, like, you catch up with your sister. Mm-hmm. And producers, and then Avenue Q, I did with your lovely wife.
Yes.
Twice, and that was awesome.
And again, you and Charlotte were together.
Charlotte and I were together. Yeah, we do come separately as well. But yeah, we were together again. And that was great, actually. And we played
Bad Behaved Bears.
Bad Idea Bears. And yeah.
Bad Idea Bears.
My mum and dad were very proud.
And Boxes.
Then, yeah, yeah. And then I did a couple more DCUs and a couple more with, like, Three Legs. We did Blood Brothers, which
yes.
was a play, which was my favourite. Mm. Of
you were Mrs. Johnson, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
She was fab.
Thank you. That was my favourite. My favourite role to date, definitely, mm-hmm. and one of my favourite shows. It was just, again, the small cast, and everyone was brilliant,
yeah.
crew, and it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I've done Centre Stage for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, back to the 80s, and then I was props for Adam's Family, and then I've done everyone since. They haven't got rid of me yet. So, yeah.
So what would be your favourite role? Obviously, you've said it was
Blood Brothers,
yeah. But what about you, Maddie? What's your favourite?
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. I mean, this one, I mean, I say this because I'm in the show, but this one really, because this is my first ever fully adult production. There's
yeah.
no kids in it. Mm-hmm. So that's been a really amazing thing for me. I've had a lot of that creativity, like, to myself. But I think my most recent, Gabriella, High School Musical, that was really, really fun. It was just such, it was all my friends that I'd known for years. So it was just like, you know, pop into rehearsals with my best friends, the best people ever. But yes, I'd say probably maybe Gabriella. And Cosette, obviously, my first yeah. ever role, which was the most amazing, exciting, fun thing for an 8-year-old child to do. So that was really fun as well.
Okay, we've had a couple of new questions in recent episodes. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, you're allowed to keep one item of costume or prop from any show that you've done. What is it and why?
Oh my gosh. So
Maddie's all over this one.
Yes, I am over this. I played Tamatoa in Moana Junior.
Oh, right.
That was 2 years ago, maybe. And I had this huge crab head, and it like the eyes lit up and they blinked. It was so cool.
Wow.
It was actually, really funny story. We went out, you know, sometimes in the pantry, you take pictures with the kids when you're out. So obviously, after the bows, you have to run, get there. And the doors were way too narrow for this huge this huge head. So I basically went flying back on the door. And it was just a really funny memory. And that was a really cool costume to have just this huge crab head on.
Brilliant.
It's really cool.
How about you, Sam?
I think mine would be, and I'm going like way, way, way back, was a Christine show we did just before I went to uni, and we did ABBA, and we got to wear the white boots. And it was like, at the time, like everyone was like, oh my God, you get to wear the white ABBA boots. And they were huge. And I just remember
big platform.
Like, look at me, I'm so cool. And I think I'd definitely keep them. They were awesome.
Awesome. Now, this is another one that I've brought in. And I got to change the wording out slightly, because I say, is there a new show that has a part that you'd like to play, but you're now too old? I'd also say a new show to you as well, because there are some shows that you may have discovered that, you know, are now probably ones that aren't put on anymore, or just, you know, it's something that's been around for a long time, but you've only just recently discovered it.
Ooh.
See, for me, there's things like Dear Evan Hansen. I'd love to play Evan Hansen, but I'm 47 in a couple of weeks' time. I can't play that part of 19-year-old.
Yeah. I feel like you're still young enough to play most parts, to be fair.
Well, there's Matilda. Matilda, though.
Do you know what? Maybe we'll just both think that idea.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, obviously, I was meant to be in School of Rock. Like, when Taylor Orion did it. And Summer Hathaway, that was such a cool
role. Oh, Summer, yeah.
Sassy, bossy. It was great. Got to finally use my American accent, you know, because as a child, I was like, oh, I can do this. It's great. But yeah, that was, obviously, it was disappointing, but it was probably or Matilda. Yeah, that was great.
Matilda,
I remember going to watch that.
Great.
Yeah,
and I think even like, I know it's not a new show to us, but like Annie, like when you guys like when we were down Annie, like it just looked so much fun to be in the kids' chorus. Like,
oh yeah,
like,
hard at life.
Is there anything that's happened in rehearsals that's just caused the whole cast to just collapse and fall about that you're going to struggle to sort of keep out of your mind when it comes to the show? Because many years ago, I did Chess with the Manx Operatic Society, and we had our, like, it was like our last rehearsal before Christmas. And a few people have been out having a few bits of liquid refreshment at lunchtime. And the guy who was playing the piano may have well been playing with his elbows. And one of the girls kind of tripped over. And me and a couple of the boys, we just had sat there at the back, just in tears. And at the exact same part one night in the show, David Artis and Ian Openshaw are playing chess up on the roster at the back. And Ian has to stand up and knock the king over and just sort of concede the game. But he kind of swept it a bit too well. And one of the pieces fell off the board and went down every step and rolled around to my feet. But fortunately, because it was a point where we had to then just a big blast of a sing, stopped. Pain hysterics. Yeah. Oh, managed to keep it in. But anything silly like that.
We had... Well, we had a couple of nights of the, like, us OGs, we like got together and ran lines, and that turned into hysterics.
I'm sending a video.
Yeah, I know. There was a video.
Six bottles of wine.
Yeah. And then there is a scene that we do without any spoilers, that, and we are meant to be quite giddy and find it quite funny. Mm-hmm. But the other night in rehearsal, I know we all completely lost the plot. And there's just all I'll say is it's when Lauren says Steve, and it is really, it's not that funny, but it's funny in our head. And I think there was a point Claire was like, I don't think we're acting anymore. And no, we're really not. Aww. But I think then we did give ourselves a talking to about we're just gonna have to get through that scene without finding it that funny.
Brilliant. Right. Okay. We need to wrap this up because you've got rehearsal starting any minute now. But before we do, way, way back after the first big lockdown, we set up our Spotify playlist. Mm-hmm. Now, this was our ultimate musical theatre playlist, and it's songs that we've either sung or from shows that we've been in or just shows that we really, really love, or something that means something pretty special to us. So Neil King and I, who were both the presenters at the time, we each put 10 songs in to get the list going because, you know, a playlist with two songs is short and a bit boring.
Yeah.
So we each put 10 songs in to get it going, and then every person who's been on the podcast since then has added a song to the list. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple that I've picked out. So obviously Neil King, part of the show.
Yeah.
One of the ones he chose, and this is a Centre Stage show, so it's from Back to the 80s. He chose Centrefold.
I knew he would.
Peter Shimmon chose Learning to Let Go from Elegies for Angels, Punks and Raging Queens. Mark Hilton chose A Marriage Proposal from Falsettos. And Meg Walker, who's on committee.
Yes, she is very good on committee.
She chose Summon X / Supper Time 2 from Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, who wants to go first? What's your song and why?
Well, as we're the same person in the show, we thought we had to choose the same song. So we're going to choose a joint song, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine, yeah.
So we are going to choose Back for Good. Obviously but we're not going to choose it from the take that, you know, official song. We're actually going to... use the one from the Greatest Days movie, because I feel that this one, it's just such a beautiful song, and it's in Act Two in the show, and it's basically just your older girls and younger girls reuniting, and just, I want you back for good. And
it's a really special moment.
Interpret that in any way. Yeah. It is a really special moment, because we just, you know, Molly was really, you know, we just kind of really get to sing it out to the audience, and that's just so lovely to just do that.
Yeah.
So it's really a special song.
And it's the point that kind of brings all the girls back together.
But back together, It's the one time where we actually kind of react with each other. So it's a really good song.
I mean, if it follows The Greatest Day, then the girls kind of fall apart as they get older. They sort of lose their way, but then this reunion show brings them all back together.
So it's a very special song.
Okay, brilliant, fantastic. Well, we'll get that added to the playlist. Right, the band runs at the Gaiety Theatre from Friday the 10th to Saturday the 18th of October, with performances nightly at 7:30 p.m. There is no show on Monday the 13th, but there are two shows on Saturday the 18th. Tuesday 14th is a captioned performance, and there is 10% off all tickets on that night. Don't forget, there's also a group discount of 8 tickets for the price of 7, so get in there, bring all your girls, have some drinks, and go and see the show. It's going to be great. If you've not done so already, you can get your tickets from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Sam, Maddie, thanks for joining me on the podcast today, and we wish you and everyone at Centre Stage all the very best for the band.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Right, let's have a quick look forward at what's left to come this year. On the 23rd of October, the American Drama Group present TNT Theatre in George Orwell's 1984 at the Gaiety Theatre. The Christine Wild Theatre School and Rachel Wild's Performer Studio bring the beloved musical Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to life this November from the 15th to the 22nd November at the Gaiety Theatre. The cast includes Callum Taylor as Caractacus Potts, Michael Bonner as Grandpa Potts, Nick Kane as the Toymaker, Peter Shimon as Baron Bombi, and Tony Hawk's coming out of retirement to play the Child Catcher. The rest of the roles are all filled by students from the two schools. On the 1st of November, the Arts Hub celebrate their 10th birthday with A Night Full of Stars in the Villa Marina Royal Hall. On the 2nd of November, Manx Family Concerts present The Owl Who Was Afraid of the Dark in the Villa Marina Arcade. Next up, the Service Players will be presenting Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House, directed by Daniel Sebastian Gray, at the Balakamine Studio Theatre from the 20th to the 22nd of November. Following that, Parker Snell Company proudly present Alfred Hitchcock's classic spy thriller, The 39 Steps, from the 27th to the 29th of November at the Gaiety Theatre. Then, on the 4th and 5th of December, Mananin's Winterfest returns to the Gaiety Theatre in a unique concert celebrating Manx Christmas traditions through a collaboration of the island's finest exponents of classical, folk, brass and choral music, with a sprinkle of local humour and drama added to the mix. Then, before we know it, it's Christmas time, and Stage Ed are back with their third pantomime, Cinderella, which plays at the Gaiety Theatre from the 19th to the 31st of December. Wow, that is a busy few months ahead. Well, with that, we bring episode 72 to a close. Thanks once again to Sam and Maddie for joining me on the podcast, and we wish them and everyone involved with Centre Stage's production of the band all the very best for their run. Don't forget, if you've not yet bought your tickets, you can get them from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There are over 120 tracks on there now and almost 8.5 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote in a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast's social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. Well, all that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Cullen, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Men actors alive for me.